Our responsive reading is taken from 660. 660. The way of life. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we have gathered here to worship you, adore you, praise you, and thank you, we are so happy that you have led us on the path of righteousness, that you have opened our eyes and hearts and minds so that we could follow you, looking up to you, and walk this path to eternal life. Thank you, Lord, that you have done so much for us. Give us grateful hearts that we might always remember that it's by your grace we are what we are. We pray this and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
At the age of 17, I found myself very discouraged, disappointed, and in a loss. I was discouraged because I knew that some of my friends who had left Greece and had come to Canada were doing well, or at least they were saying they were doing well, and I wanted to go also, to come also to Canada. And I, after writing to a relative, asking him to sponsor me to come here, he wrote to me and said, no, you are only a child, I can't sponsor you. So I was so discouraged, I was so disappointed. I was going downtown Athens one day and I went by the office recruiting office of the Royal Greek Air Force. I said, look, if I can't go to Canada, I will join the Air Force. So I went in and I showed them my credentials, my papers, and I asked them whether I would be able to join the Royal Greek Air Force. And they said, yes, you can, but you have to fill these forms. And so I decided right then and there to join the Air Force. I signed the papers, and then after a couple of weeks, they said, okay, now you can join the Air Force. Now, I went to the recruiting office once again for more instructions, and they told me I have to be at the train station at a certain hour, and then from there I'll be going to Corinth, from Athens to Corinth. That took a couple of days, it was a very slow train, and the day I went there, for the first day, I already knew I had made a terrible decision. I mean, it wasn't as I thought. Air Force, Brother John, was a lot of drills and a lot of cutting your hair and a lot of stuff that I did not expect. For the following 2 months, I suffered. And I said, well, I'm paying for the consequences of being so quick in my decisions to join the Air Force. But you know what? God has his own way of doing things. I served 28 months and then the papers were ready for me to come to Canada. And the day I finished my service, I was maybe a week or so before I got on the boat and I came to Canada. Now, the consequences of my decision were good and bad at the same time. They were bad because I suffered for a while, but they were good because I came to Canada. And the results of that, that was 51 years ago, I'm reaping the wonderful results of that decision. I have a family, I have everything else. So every time you make a decision to do something, you must think of the consequences. Sir Isaac Newton's third law of motion states, most of you may know it, for every action, there is a reaction. I will not try to explain what this means in physics and in motion of things, but I will use it as a metaphor to spirituality. In Hinduism and Buddhism and other religions, this phrase stands for karma. A short explanation of karma is you get what you give. In other words, whatever you do intentionally to others, a similar thing will happen to yourself in the future. When it comes to the consequences of our actions, though, in the Bible is very clear. In Galatians 6:7, we read, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Also in Romans 6:23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death." And I was thinking about that. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And then I said it in Greek. And then I said it in Armenian. The wages of sin. Well, there is something that you that really is the result of my decisions, the consequences. Consequences are outcomes, negative or positive, of our actions. There are always consequences from our actions or inactions. Alfred Montapart said, "Nobody ever did or will escape the consequences of his choices." Nobody will ever, nobody ever did or will escape the consequences of his choices. Job said, "As I have observed those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." In Numbers 32:33, we read, "You may be sure that your sin will find you out." Whenever we sin, there are consequences from that sin. The consequences may be spiritual or physical or both. A good example is Adam and Eve. God said to them, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of God and evil, of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And I was thinking again about this example, and then I thought of other examples in the Bible, and there are many examples we can come up with of decisions we made in the past that led to good results or bad or disastrous results. When it came to Adam and Eve, it was a disaster. In the next chapter, we read about the consequences of their disobedience. The consequences were physical and spiritual. All our actions have consequences. Therefore, we must always think of the consequences. Your acts or decisions may affect others, and those effects may change the world around you. Just one small decision may change your entire life. You may change the life of your family. You may change the life of your city or country. And these are some things we usually do not think of. I thought of Ananias and Sapphira, if they only knew one little lie will bring death, they wouldn't have lied. They wouldn't have sold the property. They meant well, and yet there was the temptation of lying. Sin will affect a person's life and his relationship with God. King David speaks about the consequences of his sin. For troubles, and I'm quoting Psalm 40, verse 12, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. The effects of David's sin were many. They brought death to 5 people, all because of one decision. It caused the death of Uriah and David's neighbor's son. Later on, we see that 3 more deaths, Absalom, Amnon, and Adonijah died. Sin affects the spiritual and physical well-being of the person who has sinned. It also affects his or her relationship with God and others. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. And in Isaiah 59:2, we read, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Well, you know what? We were discussing similar things in our Sunday morning adult class this morning. And we said that what we are de-emphasizing these days in the church, or what the churches are not saying, is the consequences of an unholy living, or the consequences of the wrong decisions, or the consequences of mixing the world and God in our daily lives. The decision not to go to church is yours. The decision not to read the Bible is yours. The decision to marry the person you want is yours. All the decisions are yours, most of them. And yet you are given the responsibility and the duty to think of the future or the consequences of these decisions. What brought up in my mind this subject of consequences was something very silly. And you may even laugh, but I was in my workplace and I was thinking something, and I had a piece of paper. I crumbled it, I made a little ball out of it, and I was aiming at the garbage pail. Anyone has done that? Well, I said, it's too far. But I said, what if I miss? Well, I said to myself, the consequences will be I have to get up and go there and pick it up and put it back. And I said, consequences, that's a good subject. And I thought about it for about a week, consequences of all my decisions. Now, if I were to ask you to go back into your life and look at the consequences of your decisions, man, it would take an eternity, you think. And yet, there has been one consequence, at least you can remember in your life. What happened when you did this? And I look back. And I sometimes feel embarrassed for something I've done when I was a teenager, before teenage years, or in the army, or even here in Canada as an adult. There were things I have done, and the consequences were not good and pleasing to God and to others. And yet I have taken many other decisions that were very pleasing to God and pleasing to people, and I enjoyed. And I, looking back, I say, good, I have made the right decision. The right decision may be in getting married to the right person, or joining the right church, or doing all kinds of other things. And yet, there are always consequences of our decision. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Now, we don't use this verse very often because we are in the mood these days to only say good things about being a Christian. It's wonderful to be a Christian. The preacher shouts out a message that says, if you want your life to change, and if you want only to be blessed, and if you want only to be prosperous, and if you want God's healing, and if you want this, and if you want that, all you have to do is just make Christ your Lord and Savior. And you say, yes, okay, fine, I would like to make Christ my Lord and Savior. And yet he does not tell you what that means. And our discussion was, what is it, or what does it mean to be born again? And I asked two teenagers, and they were not very sure what it means to be born again. And the question is, why is it that we are not explaining, we as a church, of the consequences not knowing what it is to be a Christian? Not knowing to be what is a Christian is something that will result to terrible things, may result. On the other hand, knowing what you believe in, and knowing what salvation is, and knowing what is to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, may bring a lot of blessings and may prevent a lot of heartaches and terrible things in your life. For every choice you take, or every choice you make, for every action you take, there will be a reaction or a consequence. Be sure of that. While we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. Let me read that again. While we are free to choose our actions, we are not free to choose the consequences of our actions. A bad decision may bring disappointment. It may create unbearable responsibilities and destroy relationships. Good decisions, on the other hand, will bring blessings and help us set obtainable goals that will enhance relationships and life in general, even under difficult situations. But very often, we want to do things our own way. And so we ignore or avoid the advice of loved ones, and we go ahead with decisions that may affect our entire future. For example, a relationship. A relationship. One of my disappointments as a pastor has been to be counseling. And you say, why that has been a disappointment? Because I have done more than 70 or 100 premarital counseling. And every time I hear the same promises, yes, I love my fiancé and I'll love him forever, and all kinds of promises and all kinds of things I've been told during those interviews, and yet I realize in my heart, and I know in my heart, some of these things are not serious. And often I have spoken to young people who have been dating unbelievers, and I know at least 10 out of the so many marriages and weddings I've done that have been divorced, at least 10. And why is this happening? Because when you tell a young person, a born-again believer, and speak about the consequences of marrying an unbeliever, to them that makes no sense. It makes no sense that this wonderful man, this wonderful lady, will one day be the problem in the family because of her unbelief or the lack of faith in God or the difference in religion. And so they just try for a while and then it doesn't work. But the consequences of those unions are often terrible. Sometimes they are good. And I have obviously met people, young people, who were not very spiritual, and then after talking with them and praying with them and then counseling them for a while, they understood what marriage is, and their marriages have done very well, and they are prospering, and yet many others have not. So when the church does not make it very clear that God wants us to be separated from the world, it doesn't mean that we cannot go and work now with unbelievers, or you cannot have friends that are unbelievers. It means that you can make a commitment, lifetime commitment, with an unbeliever without counting the cost. Now, if you don't mind having a tough time in the future, go ahead and continue. The same thing applies for partnership in business. And I remember a long time ago, that's about 40 years ago, when we had, my wife and I had a business, and there was just across the street another businessman, exactly like ours. And this gentleman said one day, let's get together and have one big business. And I wasn't very sure. Anyway, finally, he convinced me to do it, and we prepared all the papers, and his company and our company would be merged together and we'll have a good business. But few days before we moved things, I was praying, and I was convicted actually in my heart, that would be the wrong thing. He was an unbeliever. He had his company, I realized, was not the same kind of people that I would be associating. His understanding of honesty and truthfulness was not the same. His principles were not the same. So I called him and I said, I'm sorry, I cannot continue. He said, why? Because I said, I believe that God doesn't want me to. And you know what? That was one of the best decisions I ever made. My wife is laughing because after within a year, he went bankrupt. Now, that would have pulled me down also. And yet, sometimes we do make decisions without asking God to help us. A relationship, a business project. You want to start a business project and you say, well, I know everything. I know it. And I can do it, and I can succeed. And you don't succeed, but you lose all your money. There are other things. You know, you say, well, okay, I am troubling. I'm going to just... I don't gamble, actually. I never gamble. But I'm going to just try my luck, and I just put 50 cents in the machine. And the 50 cents in the machine gives you $100, I don't know, I've never gambled, $1,000 or whatever. And you get excited, and now you start throwing in the quarters and dollars, whatever you do. And then the devil and this desire and this desire to become rich quickly or make, and then you decide, that's what I'm going to do. And you know what? In the past 20 years, our business has suffered more. With those who are gamblers, we've lost thousands of dollars with people who we did not know they are gamblers. And then when I would call their wives or their family, they would be crying and saying, we just lost our house, we just lost our savings, and what to do. Decisions that we make may affect many. The same thing may apply to change of job. You say, well, you know, I'm bored here in my job. I'm deciding to quit. So you quit. And the consequence of that is that now you don't have a job and your family is waiting for you to bring some money and pay the rent, and you can't do it. So before you quit your job, pray to God. Ask for His direction and obey His message that comes through the Holy Spirit. Church, city, some people change churches because of whatever. Other people will change cities. Oh, it's too cold here. I want to move to Florida. I want to move to whatever. And then they move there. And we have a friend, and he and his family, some time ago, they moved to Florida. And he came about a couple of months ago, back with his wife. He said, you know what? We went to Florida. We have a beautiful house, but I miss Montreal. I know it's not cold there, but... So they were saying, we lost our house, now to buy a house here, it's going to cost too much. So everything we do has a consequence. Children choosing to disobey their parents, and they want to do things their own way. And, you know, you talk today to young people and they are confused. A teenager, and you say, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing drugs? Or why are you smoking? Or why aren't you going to church? Well, they'll turn around and say, well, my dad smokes, my mom is doing this, and today's society is going down the drain because we make the wrong choices and we don't count the consequences. I had written an article and was published in a couple of magazines. The experiment failed. The experiment was some years ago, maybe 50 years ago or so, when the churches realized that to bring people into the church was to lower the demand, to lower the bar, and make it not so difficult for people and young people to come to church. So what they did, oh, that's okay, they are only young people. Oh, that's okay, he is only an adult. But, you know, whatever the reasoning was, and then start to introducing the world into the church. That was a decision. And for a while it worked. The churches started growing because the young people liked what they saw, the bands and the music and the excitement, and also the assurance that no problem, this is God. God is understanding. God loves you, and God will understand that you did this or you're doing that. Don't worry. And yet today there are a lot of tears being shed. There are a lot of knees that are being calloused because people want to pray now and ask God to reverse that. But already the damage has been done. The consequences of turning our backs to the Word of God can be disastrous. But the consequences of following Christ can be wonderful. And His blessings we may enjoy. You may not have the best possible job, and yet you have the peace of God. You may not feel you have the best possible situation in your home, but you are blessed because you have the peace of God. There is a way, the Bible says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 14:2. And more often than we care to admit, God is completely left out of our decision making. Now, think of your decisions in the past year or so. You decided you want to go out with this young man or girl. You decided to change your job. You decided to move from one city to another. You decided to do this. Did you take a moment to ask God to show you whether that decision is the right one? Have you taken a moment to discuss it with your loved one and see whether they also agree with you? The problem is we have become so self-centered, so smart we think, so we make decisions without even counting the cost or thinking of the consequences. When you are about to make a choice, think of the consequences of that decision and ask yourself, how will this decision affect me and those around me? Am I doing it for my pleasure and convenience only? Will the ripple effect be good or bad? Yes, there are ripple effects, and these ripple effects may be good. You may be influencing now hundreds of people in doing good. The ripple effect may be so good that others would like to follow in your footsteps. The ripple effects may be so good that the church will be filled. The ripple effect will be so good that your wife will love you more, your husband will love you more, and will respect you more. The ripple effect can be good. But on the other hand, the ripple effect on a bad decision can be disastrous. Your family members will start hating you. You will lose your family. You'll lose your job. You'll lose your integrity. And look what happened to so many who were caught just making a bad decision. Just in politics these days, we hear so much corruption going on. Just an envelope with $1,000 will solve my problem. And yet, a few years later, the news comes out that I tried to bribe someone and then I lose my my job, I lose my integrity, and I'm now looked as a crook. Well, this was a very innocent attempt to promote yourself or to buy some favor from someone, and look what happened. Am I asking for God's will to be done in my life, or only my will, regardless of the consequences? Regardless of the consequences. You want to write something in the Facebook. Okay, let me get as low as that. And you must ask the question, if I write this, how will it affect me? Well, you may not think of that, of the consequences. And yet, look what's happening. Sometimes people are being blackmailed. Sometimes people get into trouble. You may say, okay, I'm going to do this. And ask for the consequences. I mean, the consequences may be good. God may say, oh, that's a good idea. Go ahead and do it. He may say, well, you know what? I've been waiting for you to make that decision. And God, I'll bless you. Or you may say, no, don't do it. Because, look, a moment of pleasure will give you a lifetime of suffering. And I've shared this so many times, but now is the right time to share it once again. I remember my wife and I got a call from a young lady. She was crying. First she talked to my wife and then to me, and she said, you know, I've been brought up a Christian. I followed God's will all my life. I knew what was wrong and I knew what was right. I knew that going out and sleeping with someone else before marriage was sinful, but I was tempted. The opportunity came up and I did it once, and then just once in my life, and now I'm dying of AIDS. She said, the doctors have given me a few months to live. And it was true. A few months later, she died. She was a beautiful girl. She was a very Christian girl who gave in to temptation. And the consequences of that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, one day's pleasure were disastrous. Well, we all have to make decisions. Right now, you have to make a decision. Right now, when you go home, you have to make a decision. What do I do? And it may become a little bit difficult now to deal with this, because what? Am I going to... do you want me to sort of ask the question, what are the consequences every time I do something? No. You know, after a while, it becomes a way of life. Obviously, I know the consequences of lying. Obviously, I know of the consequences of stealing. I know of the consequences of getting drunk. I know of the consequences of cheating on my wife. I know of the consequences doing things that will destroy me and my reputation and my family. So I don't have to worry anymore to ask the questions, because I know. But there are some decisions that I'm not familiar with, or some areas that come up in my life. And I have to be very careful before I say, oh, it sounds good. Just because it sounds good is not good, and just because it tastes good is not good, and just because it looks good is not good, unless that is really what is going to build you up and help you live a life that is pleasing to God and pleasing to others around you. Before you take that final step and act on your decision, stop and pray. And ask God to help you with your decision, and then listen for the answer. The answer may come right away, or you may have to wait for it. And you may or you may not like the answer. And so, you may choose to ignore it. But please think of the consequences. We read in the Bible the following. That is in Ecclesiastes 12. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Now, this was a great philosopher. He was a good, great writer. And he tried everything. He tried riches. He tried the finest wines. He had so many concubines and wives that you can't imagine. He had every pleasure. He had the biggest garden. He had the biggest palace. And he tried everything. And look, his conclusion. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. Thank you for giving us the freedom, the free will to choose, and yet there is a price to pay for disobeying you. Heavenly Father, if I have said anything this morning in this message that was not according to your will, please erase it from our minds. But if you have spoken to each one of us, please help us accept your words and put them into practice. And Lord, I pray for your help in our daily walk. Help us to be able to know what is right and what is wrong. Give us the spirit of discernment to be able to discern. And give us the strength to be able to fight the good fight and finish the course. In your blessed name I pray, amen.